Oh, yeah, don't
all
you?
Too well. Let me say this. This is a conversation between Joe Moore and Walter Langford on June 21st, 1982, in Joe's home in Kaus, Texas. Let's start, Joe, with you telling me how you got, how you had your beginning in baseball, where and with what teams and so forth.
Well, I was playing semi-pro ball
around here,
South Texas, out south of San Antonio, Crystal City. And they had everyone. Well, most of them were paid, of course. They weren't supposed to be, but they had little compensation. And there was a owner of this old San Antonio club. One of the stockholders of that thing was a coffee salesman in that area down there, and he made all the ball games every week, and he talked to me, and of course I was naturally interested. Well, not quite like it is today. I wasn't interested in getting $1 million. I was interested in playing.
That's what they all were in those days.
And so he I finished high school, and he gave me my first contract with a, well, it was a contract with the San Antonio club, but we were later sent out to Coleman, the old, well, it was reformed, reformed West Texas League, what it was.
Yeah.
And we went out there, a bunch of kids did, there was a bunch of boys, that youngsters. And, well, we were young, it was a young league until the old East Texas League blew up. And then, then we got the influx of the players from over there, and then that made quite a change in the thing.
But when you were out there, you really belonged to the San Antonio
Club? San Antonio Club, that's right.
And go ahead.
We, I played out there, 2 years. Oh, well, I was actually, the second year I was, sometime in the middle of the season, I was sold to the Waco club on a trial basis.
What year was this, Joe?
That was in 1929. 28 was my first year. And I went over there, and they had a bunch of old fellas over there, and of course I was naturally scared to death, or being around professionals, and what was that old? He's an Italian fella, Joe Martini.
Oh yeah,
old Joe Martini was pitching the ball game.
Sure, I remember him
in Waco, and they put me in the ball game out that particular day, and I went out there and I dropped the ball. And that sent me back to Kobe. Of course, I heard lots of it from then on by Jake Stucker. Old Jake used to write the Waco Herald Tribune for years. And every time somebody would come up there, well, naturally bring that up. That was a popular subject. Well, he was a Gene Rye man. That's of course, Gene was. This came on the next year after that, in 1930. During the winter, well, the whole West Texas League, it blew. And so I made some contact, tried to make some contact around. And finally the same ball club, they had let me go out there on waivers and was a recall option. But in some way in the deal they lost the option. I don't know how it happened, of course.
Oh, yeah. It happens.
But it anyway, the league blew up, so I contacted it, Wichita Falls, also, which the manager of Wichita Falls in 1930 was out at Abilene in 29. Carl Williams, you remember old Carl Williams? And old Carl, I wrote them, and I never did hear from any of them, but man, I got a reply right back from San Tony Bogler, which had already owned me.
Sure.
And so I went down there, they sent me a contract right back and did the return mail. $250 a month.
Mm.
Big money.
Big money in those days for a young guy.
So,
When did the Giants get a hold of you? That's
well,
that year
I played. I played that year. I had a terrific year. Was having, and up in the middle of the year, I was leading the league, Texas League, and hit about 380 and started playing night ball and got to. Well, I hadn't played many night games. We were playing at Freeport, and a left-hand pitcher hit me right on the arm, broke my arm.
Oh,
and
boy.
Of course, the Giants had already sent a scout. He was on his way down to look at me whenever this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were nicely in a hurry to get me back in there, and I got back in too quick, and I couldn't swing the bat, and I finally wound up hitting 330 or something like that year. But
pretty darn good.
But up until that time, I was leading the league, and I had a wonderful arm. Of course, I went down. I was in shape when I reported. I didn't have to go to spring training to get in shape. I was already in shape.
But you did get up to play a few games at the end of the season for the Giants.
Yes, about...
In 30.
I think I played about three or four games.
Five at-bats.
Yeah. Well, I got my first hit, I guess, that time there in 19.
You remember your first game?
I remember, yes, sir, sure do.
Who'd you face when you went up to bat?
Well, I don't know who I faced, really, but I believe the first game I played... Was in the Polo Grounds against Chicago, I believe. And that was when Hack Wilson had his big year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, they put me in center field, and, of course, it was a spacious place in
sure
center
was.
Field in the Giants, in the old Polo Ground. And I was playing. Hack Wilson's deep, couldn't hardly see him. And, but he hit one. I believe he hit a home run that day. I'm pretty sure he did, of course.
Yeah, he hit 56 of them that year.
50, so. Yeah, 50. And that was my first, I believe my first base hit, if I'm not mistaken, was off of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Who later was a coach down here at Sam Houston State College. What was his name? Yeah, Betsy don't wear the home PLA.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you in a minute.
Call him, he's a siren, they call him Calvin Cooties, they call him.
McLish?
No.
No?
No.
Well, wait a second, we'll figure it out.
Well, I'll think about it tomorrow.
Here's their whole pitching staff for that year.
Okay.
Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Ray Benz.
Ray Benz, that's it.
Okay. Got him.
Turn that light on, Andy.
Oh, she's fine there.
Now,
I suppose you got the nickname of JoJo down here before you ever went up to
major
leagues.
No, I got that after. I don't know how I got that.
Really?
Actually, I don't. I had two or three, that none of them didn't stick too firmly,
but
they called me the Thin Man and Golf Ghost.
The Golf Ghost, that's in the book, yep.
And JoJo, of course, a lot of them call it JoJo.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a while, about one of the great figures in baseball, good or bad, mostly good, I think, John McGraw.
I never played much for Mr. McGraw.
Just a year or two, yeah.
He
quit in 32.
Yeah, Mr. McGraw sent me over to Jersey City. Last year was manager. I had a good spring with him too, and of course, Mr. McGraw was he was a boss.
You know it.
And another thing about him, Mr. McGraw had pretty well had his ball club picked before the season opener.
Yeah.
He knew who was going to be playing unless something very adverse happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had it all figured out there, because he had, and you just didn't hardly break in there unless you did something outstanding. And I'll say one thing for him though, he took up for me one time after I rejoined him in 1931, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing in St. Louis, and I was in the ball game this particular, I don't know where it started and where they went in later on. I don't know how it happened, but anyway, I was in the game, and the bases were loaded, and somebody hit a ball. I was playing left field, and somebody hit a ball out there, and I charged it over, and so the pitcher was pitching. Again, eat me out a little bit for charging the ball and booting it.
Mm-hmm.
And said, well, you didn't have any play. And then McGraw stepped in right then and said, man, the base is loaded, said, you got to play
all over the place, yeah.
so there's one thing about McGraw, he could eat you out, but nobody else didn't do it.
That's good.
And he was for his ball player, the one thing that. Of course, he had softened up whenever I got there.
Yeah. Now, real soon, therefore, in your first full year, Bill Terry took over.
The first thing that Bill did when he was made manager, he recalled me from Jersey City.
Oh, great.
He was made manager one day, and he called me that night.
He was manager most of your
all
stay
of my
there.
Time.
All of my time.
Yeah.
How was he as a manager?
Bill Terry was the best manager in baseball.
Good. And one of the best hitters, too.
Whatever he, I tell you, Bill, when he was playing manager, he was a real, real manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only thing that, I won't say it was a mistake, because it wasn't a mistake, but it was his managerial deal, I think. Maybe it might have been a mistake, because he got too many irons in the fire. He got to be general manager, you know, and had to sign all the ball players and all that stuff. And that, I think it took away from him.
Yeah, sure it did.
He lost contact with his player.
Yeah, that's bad.
It did. And I think that's one thing it's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
From what I hear.
Well, we all hear it, yeah.
Tell me that... we used to, whenever we was playing, when I was playing, I was dying. Well, we'd play those ball games over.
Mm-hmm. And they don't do that now.
And they tell me now, of course, this is hearsay, that you don't, whenever that ball game, you don't see anybody until the next day.
They go their separate ways. And they got businesses all over the place.
Well, they all got their manager and their lawyer and everything.
Their
else.
Their agents and whatnot. All right, I want to ask you about some of your teammates. Talk a while about Carl Hubbell.
Well, that's a good subject. Right?
Yeah, I know it.
it's not in thinking, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's anybody in the class with Carl for actually pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's people that had more stuff than he had. But if I was going to have to have one game pitch, I take him.
Most people say that.
He could lead you up to a pitch better than anybody. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
And if he ever made a mistake, it was a bad one,
because
it was a mistake. It was a big league mistake. He's the easiest guy to play behind too.
That's wonderful.
So if he was going to pitch a man a certain way, he pitched him that way. He wasn't going to be pitched he playing one way and then pitch him another.
All right. How about Mel Lott?
Mel and I are good friends. Very good. Yes. And fact, we had our ball club was a family, you know, back in those days. We had, we all lived up in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we had, we were on High Point, Manhattan Island, up there. And several families of us lived right in the same building. It was a cooperative owned building.
Mm-hmm.
And we subleased it. We all lived up there, and our family, we had close family relationships and kids and all. But we didn't have, our boy wasn't born until, well, he was a small child while we were in New York at all. But Mel was well, for a little man, he was the best little man in the country, I think.
Actually, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he hit more home runs than Bill Terry.
Oh, yes.
By a good deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill wasn't so much the home run hitter as he was a hard hitter. And
Bill hit the opposite field lots of times. Yeah. He was an opposite field.
Yes.
Who you got there?
My little family.
Isn't
that
something?
Boy? Wonderful.
A
grandson
and a granddaughter. My little granddaughter just graduated from Sam Houston State just a while back.
Really? That's this one.
Girl.
And that's the boy.
That's the boy.
That's his son.
Yeah, that's your son. That's his boy.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he now, the grandson?
He'd be 22 the 8th the next month.
Uh-huh.
He would have made a pretty
college?
Good ball player.
Yeah.
He was a good little, good hitter.
Uh-huh.
He's bigger than I was when I was playing ball. So we're not bigger than I am now.
You were 5'11", it says here, and weighed 155.
That was soaking wet, too.
So that was
our granddaughter.
Getting her diploma.
Getting her degree.
Now, how old is she now?
She's 23.
Yeah. San Marcos.
Houston, Sam Houston down in Huntsville.
Huntsville, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You have the two grandchildren.
That's the granddaughter getting the degree at college.
She specializes in, she majored in finance. She's working for Dad back down in Bryan now. In operations now, I don't know what operation is.
They got terms for everything nowadays.
Well, she told me, I asked her, I said, well, what is operation, baby? She said, well, it says, my department deals with other banks. We're not.
Mm-hmm. All right, tell me about Freddie Lindstrom.
I saw Freddie last year. Freddie was down here at the...
He's died since, you know.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know Freddie was dead.
A few months ago.
Yeah. Well, Freddie, my grandson and I, we were this new stadium down at A&M College down there. So old boy used to play with the Yankees. I can't think of his name now. But anyway, he gave all that down there to the graduate of A&M. And they sent me an invitation. I went down there and they sent me two tickets for the game that day. And they were playing California, UCLA.
Uh-huh.
And I went down and saw it. And I visited all during the game with Freddie.
Yeah.
And we took him back to the hotel after the game that day. Freddie and I, Freddie was there before I came to the Giants quite a while. He was one of the youngest guys they were playing with.
Of course. And had the misfortune to have a bad hop over his head.
Yeah. Of course, you get credit for all the bad.
Yeah.
They don't see the bad.
But by the time he was with you, he was an outfielder, I think.
Yes, he's playing. Yeah. He played some third base.
Did he? Then he later went to the Cubs.
But Fred was a young, he was the youngest older man that you see any time. He played in that game out the last game that I, the last old time of the game that I put him in.
Very good.
Out in Los Angeles, it's been about 6 years ago, I guess, since we were out there. I tell you what it was. It was the first year Garvey was out there.
Well, that was
6-7 years ago, I guess.
That's
now.
At least that.
Yeah.
And all right, how about Freddie Fitzsimmons?
Oh, Fat Freddy. It was Freddy's dad, do it. Freddy was the hardest loser I ever saw.
Well,
he didn't like to lose.
Did you ever meet a good loser pitcher?
No, some of them will take it all right.
Yeah.
But Freddy was a, and we got beat in the World Series and the Yankees, and I don't know whether it was 36 or 37.
Well.
And Freddy booted the ball, actually, and the best fielder in baseball. And they beat us 2-1.
Yep.
The Yankees beat us 2-1.
Okay.
And Freddie booted the ball, actually, that whipped us and let them tie the score on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they, of course, that, you know, you play different when you're tied and when you're ahead and when you're behind. You play
different. Of course.
And he booted that ball and Bunk Hadley was pitching against us.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about fortune falling either for you or against you, it does happen that way.
Yeah.
And Tony Lazare was playing second base, and Tony Corsetti was playing short.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who was on second base, but I was hitting, and Buff Hadley pitched with these men out of position.
Oh, be darned.
And so help me, if I didn't hit a line drive just as square over second base as you could hit one.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy at Lazare caught it.
He was
play.
There, yeah.
Had the pitch gone too, we would have been one run ahead of him instead of tied one.
That was in 36. That was 36, as I said. Now, let's move on to Travis.
Travis Jackson, he had the best throwing arm in baseball, I guess, at that time. But I don't see how it could be any better now. I don't believe it could.
And he hit it pretty well, too.
Yes, he had everything.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about the funny thing. I thought about this the other day. When I got your letter, as you mentioned, Larry French. Well, Larry was at Pittsburgh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a rain out over in Pittsburgh. I don't know how long. I'll say 2 hours. But they were ahead.
Mm.
And they were trying to, you know, protect the thing and play it on. And, well, if they did everything or dry the field out, they burnt gasoline on it, and they burned everything, and they scraped and everything. And we were something over 2 hours sitting in the zone. And Larry had two strikes on Jackson when he left the game, and he went out there and appealed all that time. And came back in there after the delay. And the first ball he threw, Jackson hit up his right field seat with 2 men on. It beat the ball.
Oh, I bet Larry was fit to be tied, huh?
But Larry's a good fellow.
He is a fine fellow, and as I said, nobody has looked younger and more vigorous than
he got a pretty good rank in the Navy during the war.
Yeah, he retired as a captain.
Uh-huh.
And he pointed out something I hadn't noticed before. He had 197 wins, you know, and wanted 200. Naturally.
Yeah.
And he had a deal with Brooklyn. He was commissioned in the Navy and then assigned to the Brooklyn Navy Yard. So he made a deal with Brooklyn that he would keep in shape and come and pitch just on the weekend when they were at home. And he'd get 8 starts, and he figured he could get 3 wins. And the government wouldn't allow it. So he missed out there. But anyway, he pointed out to me that he had 197 wins, and 40 of them were shutouts.
40 of them shutouts.
That's more than one out of every four wins is a shutout. And I've looked through a lot of others, and I don't find anybody with that percentage of shutouts.
You know, of course, Larry was true in his pitching.
Yeah.
And I could hit true guys. I hit Larry real good, but course, I hit left-handed.
Yeah.
He pitched left-handed, but it didn't make a whole lot of difference.
Not as much in those days.
They didn't bother me, too. I'd rather hit it right-handed, all right.
Yeah, sure.
But I hit left-handed, and the only time that I ever had a chance, I believe, to hit 3 home runs was on left-hand pitching.
I'll be darned.
And it was Bill Walker. He was with St. Louis after he
went. That's right.
I hit 2 off of him, and the only 2 runs we got. He beat 3-2.
Doggone.
And man, you can remember things like that.
Yeah, sure. Tell me about Hal Shoemaker.
Old Hal. Well, of course, we knew Hal. He made the first spring training. He was just a boy out of St. Lawrence College up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe San Antonio was his first.
His first stop
with us. Well, that was my first training too. And of course, they sent Hal over to Bridgeport. They sent he and I over to Bridgeport when they bought Konecki from Indianapolis. They had to send somebody to Indianapolis in the deal.
Yeah.
And they sent us over to finish out the season over there. I was at Newark at that time, and I was leading the International League.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me up and told me this evening after the ball game, and said, told me to report back to camp in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I built up I was pretty high spirit. I thought maybe I was going to get to play with the Giants leading the International League.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went in there, and Mr. McGraw told me, said, "You're going to Bridgeport." Which was a Class A league, and I'd already been in it. I was leading a Double A league.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a letdown then after that. But yeah,
You got to do what the set tell you.
You used to have to.
Yeah, that's right. Nowadays.
Now you don't.
They call their agent.
Yeah, they call their agent.
What kind of pitcher was Hal?
Hal, good pitcher. Good.
Yeah.
He was a hard working pitcher, and Hal, you know, he's raised up in that coal country up there in Doverville, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he could stand the heat, but he worked
better when it wasn't so.
Well, he was a better pitcher, I believe, when it was a little cooler.
Where did he get the name Prince Hal?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how he come up with that moniker. Of course, he was just a big, a good, high-class boy, Hal.
Yeah. All right, let's change to another one who was with you at time, I think, Lefty O'Doul.
Lefty O'Doul was a card. He was a hitter.
If Shoemaker was a high type guy, and they could call him Prince, Lefty was on the other end of the stick.
Well, Lefty's all right. He was a different disposition altogether. Al, he wasn't quite as serious until you got the hit.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you. I tell you one thing, Lefty, he helped me a whole lot in hitting.
Did he really?
When I first went over the Giants, I was a slap hitter. Of course, I would have probably been better off if I'd stayed a slap hitter.
Who knows?
But he said, "You ought to learn how to pull that ball." And he showed me things and helped me. And I learned to pull the ball real good. But now with it... I don't guess it probably didn't help my area. It might have helped me a little bit on the extra base and stuff like that. But Lefty was a theory man on hitting. He had a theory. I was blessed with a good arm, just a good strong arm and accurate most all the time. And Lefty had. Of course, he was an old pitcher, you know.
Right, started out as a pitcher.
Had a sore arm, couldn't throw hardly across the infield. And he'd get out there and he would watch me and how I'd hold the ball and whatnot. And I'd tell him, that's where you get your extra days, on that down,
mm-hmm.
on the break of the wrist.
Yep.
And he'd try that, of course, he was pretty old at that time. He was already past his prime.
Over the hump, yeah.
Yeah, and he'd lefty would rub himself. He had I don't know what kind of liniment that was. That was his stay-in-the-league liniment. It was the hottest stuff. You put that stuff on you, and it burned you.
It burned.
And he said, I got to have it, said, I can't stay in the league if I have it.
How about Dick Bartell?
Dick was a good ball player. And actually, now I'm gonna make a statement here, I'm not critical of anybody or him, but Dick had to learn to play after he came to us. He played on Philadelphia on the losing ball club, and he was a little. Of course, he wasn't long learning, because you know if a man has ability, he's gonna learn.
That's right.
And he's gonna be able to do his job.
Stay there, yeah.
And Dick learned, but Dick was a fighting little guy. I guarantee
you. That's why they call him Rowdy. Huh?
He was rowdy, and he'd do anything to try to win. He and Mungo had it all the time.
Really?
Oh, the Brooklyn fans hated him. And when we would go out, walk out on the field over at Brooklyn, the old Brooklyn ballpark, Bartell would be the first one on it. Boy, they'd shower it with all the fruit and stuff. I saw Dick out at Los Angeles when I was out there the last time.
I tried to get him on my list of people, and he wrote back and said, well, sorry that I can't do what you want, because I'm working on, some sports writer or something is doing a book with Dick, about Dick, I think. So he still lives up in the Bay Area.
Alameda.
Yeah, that's right, Alameda. How about Rube Melton?
Slim Melton?
Yeah.
Not Rube.
No. Wait a second.
Rube Melton. There was a Rube Melton.
Yeah, I don't think Rube. Cliff.
Cliff Melton. He came to us from Baltimore. We bought him in Baltimore, and he was a good pitcher, but he just liked that one pitch. He didn't have. He was a fastball pitcher, he just had that one.
Mighty few of them can get by just with the fastball.
That's right. You got to have something else to go with it. And he never could develop it. It couldn't change up on you too much. But I think if he had been, he would have been. He won the first close 20 ball games.
One year at least he was close to 20. You had for 1 year or so, I think, old Zeke Manura.
Old Zeke could hit that ball.
Yeah. Couldn't field it all the time.
Well, he did.
You're blocking on.
He said, "Come on, Whitey." Zeke led. He led the league in fielding every year because he never
didn't get to him.
That's true. And we had a Burgess White as a second baseman, and Burgess Whitey could cover lots of ground, and. The ball hit the in between Whitey and Zeke. Zeke and all, come on, Whitey.
It's all yours.
Come on, Whitey. I got to meet Zeke. Come on, Whitey. He said, Zeke will lead the league field as long as Whitey get over there, too.
You got into World Series real fast, your second full year up there, or your first full year, maybe.
32. I played about 100 balls.
Yeah, you were in.
Somewhere.
You were in about that many, but in 33 you were in 132 games.
We were still playing with a dead ball in
33. Yeah, yeah.
And man, I mean, it was a dead one too. And that year, Well, let's see.
What do you remember about that World Series, if anything? That was one with Washington.
I remember the last of the double play. That's one thing that it sewed it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all close games.
Yeah.
with the exception of one, I believe, and that was a Crowder game. And we had a big inning. I got two hits and one inning off the same pitcher. That's
sure.
Unusual.
In that sixth inning, second game, you got all your runs in the sixth inning against Crowder.
Yeah.
We brought in Thomas in that inning, too. Yeah, and the others were pretty close, 4-2.
I believe we had two extra innings, man, didn't we?
You had two extra innings. The last two were extra innings. Hubble beat Weaver in 3-6-9, 11 innings. And Schumacher and Lucchi beat...
Lucchi came in relief.
Yeah, beat Crowder and Russell.
Now, he's talking about an old reliever, an old laid-off Lucchi.
Laid-off, yeah, awful.
He says to me, throw it to him, fastball him, looking for curve.
Yeah,
he's dead, I think, too.
He was an old-timer. Yeah, he was
over Cincinnati.
Yeah, he was in the 1919 series, and wasn't just a rookie then, so he was born well before the turn of the century. Now, out of the 36 and 37 series, both against the Yankees, just to give me your feelings about a few of their people, like Gary, DiMaggio, and Dickey.
Well, of course, that in 36, DiMaggio went to the Yankees in 36, and that turned him around. That's the only time I ever saw one man just absolutely turn a team around, and he did it.
He did, for a fact.
He just turned them around because they were floundering, and he came along, and of course, he was, there's no doubt about him being a great ball player, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Gehrig, we were talking about that the other day, I don't know who it was, but Gehrig came up with that disease he had, sent something on the order of polio, but
I don't know. That hadn't hit him yet, he was still...
Christy Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
Christy Walsh, you know, he took Gehrig and Ruth and kind of handled their money there for a while. And I was talking to Christy Walsh in New York that summer, the summer that Gehrig died.
Yeah.
And he said, you just can't imagine a man with the physique that he had.
That's right.
If you could see him now. The last time I saw Gehrig was the day that they gave him the day over in Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. We all went over there.
Good.
And he was crippled. He walking out to the to home plate that day. But that's the last time I saw him. But Christy Walsh told me, he says, he weighed 86 pounds.
Think of that.
Man weighed, Gehrig at least weighed 235.
Oh yeah, well over 200. Yeah.
Man hit that ball. I mean, he hit that ball hard. Anywhere he hit it.
It didn't want to stop when he hit it.
Of course, he was, you know, he played on the shadow roof there for a long time.
In fact, 35 was the first time he was out from under the shadow when Ruth went over for his last fling with the Braves. What about Bill Dickey?
Bill Dickey was, I think, was kind of a class by himself at that time.
I believe you're right.
Bill, I talked to Bill quite a bit when I was up there hitting him. And he got told me, he said, I called behind lots of guys, but said, I never had anybody hit the ball out of my mitt like you do. he said you hit the ball later than anybody I've ever caught behind.
Well, there are advantages in that.
Yeah, it's some. Yeah. There might be some disadvantages.
And nearly everything has that. Now, weren't you a center fielder most of the time?
No, I played left field in all of the times. I played some center field with them, but most of the left field.
How good a left fielder do you think you were, Joe?
Well, they said I was pretty good.
I know you were.
I played in Well, I was selected seven or eight times on All-Star.
Yeah, I know that.
And of course, Medrick was a hitter, more, you know, the powerful hitter.
For power,
and of course, he'd get the starting assignment, but I tell you what, if in 34, I guess it was, I said 34. I had my best year in the big days in 34. I believe I hit 331.
Yep.
Well, if I'd have been a lucky hitter that year, I'd have led the league.
Mm-hmm.
At one of those times that he didn't have any bad streaks long.
Yep.
And of course, I hit the ball sharply. Now I tell you one time, not just me, but with the type hitter I was and the type hitter we had several of them, wieners.
Oh, yeah.
Well, both were wieners.
Both wieners, sure.
If this infield like they got them now, we'd have hit 15, 20 points. We'd have hit 15, 20 points more.
Oh, sure.
Well, that ball, it gets through that thing now.
Oh, it just goes through like a shot.
Cool. This guy's got the cleat. I played ball with him in the little leagues and then the larger upper liners. Bobby Goff.
Uh-huh.
Bobby drove up here one day. I was watching the ball. It was on Saturday. And I heard the doorbell ring and went out there. And I looked at him and he said, "Don't know me today." I said, "I sure do." I hadn't seen him in 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
And Bobby got to tell him, he scouted Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Man," says, "what's the little boy?" He was a small man. He said, if we'd be playing now," said, "these guys have dragged us to that outfield as far as they hit that ball
mm-hmm.
on that fast infield."
Yep.
And he said, "It is something." Says,
"You never played on an artificial surface?"
Never played. Well, I played an old timer's game down in Houston, the only one that I ever played. And that was on the... That was when they had to ask to the grass down there.
Yeah.
But it was hard.
Uh-huh.
It may work out the hard chipping on some players, but
that's if it does.
But they got a different shoe now, haven't they?
Yeah, they got different shoes for that surface. They got gloves as big as all outdoors.
Yeah, I had a last glove I had. I showed it to my grandson, and he said, "Man, yeah." I could get nothing.
Yeah, they all say that. Yeah.
But they have got the eagle claw.
Yeah, you don't have to catch the ball. All you got to do is get the glove
close to it,
close enough to it, and the reflex of the glove will catch it.
Yeah, the equipment's different.
Yeah, the equipment's different. Night ball makes it different. You played night only a few games.
We held out a long time. We didn't hold out quite as long. Mr. Wrigley did.
Not right.
Mr. Wrigley stayed with him. I'll say that for him.
Yeah, give him credit for that.
He sure did.
Well, who was the toughest pitcher for you to hit?
Well, the toughest pitcher for me to hit, he wasn't the toughest for a lot of them.
Well, that doesn't matter. Everybody's different on that.
You know, the toughest hitter, pitcher that I hit at, I believe, was Cy Blanton over at Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And, but every time, I didn't get many hits off of him, but every time I got a hit off of him, I hurt him. It's one of those things.
Yeah, there's a big hit.
Now, you have guys, they had a left-hand pitcher over at Pittsburgh. I had rather do anything and hit at that guy.
Mm-hmm.
We called him the criminal. Burkhoffer. Ralph Burkhoffer, left-hander. But man, I could tee off on him, I could hit him like on him, but I didn't want to hit him. He's just one of those guys.
He was your favorite as far as being easy to hit.
I hit him good.
Who else could you name among your favorite pitchers?
Well, I hit Red Lucas pretty good.
Did you?
Yeah, I hit Red pretty good. He, of course, Red was, he was one of those true guys. I'll tell you who I hit pretty good, had good stuff. I hit Paul Dean pretty good.
That's a pretty good recommendation.
in his, he only had a couple of really good years.
Yeah, he won 19.
Yeah, if you hit him in those good years he had.
I hit him when he was in prime.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Good pitchers. I hit good pitchers.
You had to.
As good as
hit the average them. You had for the years you had.
Cincinnati had, old boy killed himself. You remember over at Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Old P. Reese Day, he was over there too. But this guy was a little fella.
Left-hander?
Yeah, no, he's right-hand. Didn't have, he was very, he didn't have much of a fastball. Barney Fry. See if that didn't know.
Well, I'll have to go back over here.
Barney Fry, I think was that.
That doesn't quite ring a bell with me, but.
We'd go in there and he'd just pitch the greatest ball games against us because he could get our big bats out.
Mm-hmm. That's what it takes, usually.
Ronnie Fry was an infielder.
That's right. Well, no. The only Fry.
I enjoyed playing it, actually.
It had character, that old place.
It had some difficulties.
Oh, sure.
And the wall there, but I was very fortunate.
That was one of the things that made each ballpark distinctive.
That's right. Knowing how to play.
Now they've got all of these sanitized stadiums that are all the same, and fans are way to hell back from the ball game.
And they'll, if they go down there, they're going to go around.
Yeah.
And we're used to.
You had to know the ins and outs of each field.
You just better not get too close to that polo ground to that fence. If you do, I'll get your teeth knocked out.
What was your favorite ballpark to hit in?
Pittsburgh.
Forbes Field?
Forbes Field.
I saw a lot of games in Forbes Field. Saw you. No, you got a little too late. I was seeing games there in the 20s.
Uh-huh.
A lot. What parks did you dislike?
Well, I'll tell you what, the park that you did like the most was that Chicago park, but I hit good then. Now, it's unusual.
Because of the wind?
Well, it had that little center field bleacher out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the guys that could pitch out of it, see.
They had
Charlie Root, and they had Guy Bush, and Warnicky.
Pat Malone, Sheriff Blake.
You know, of course, I'm not a racist, but I didn't play against the colored boy, but I'm not against them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you one thing about it. Now, if they'd been playing in that days, what we're talking about now, they wouldn't hit so much. A lot of them wouldn't. Or you take Guy Bush and Charlie Malone,
Dean and Hallahan and others.
And they'd knock you down, and they tell you they're going to knock you down, and they do it. Burley Grimes.
Oh, all that.
Burley Grimes.
Knock his grandmother down.
He threw it at mama.
With a bat in her hand.
Yeah. You put a bat in Burley Grimes' mama's hand, he'd throw it at her. Well, I'll tell you another thing he'd do. He'd knock you down with a spitball.
Wow.
He hit mail with spitball. And I mean hit him too. He didn't.
You wouldn't think he'd fool around worry about spitball. If he wants to hit him, throw him the fastest one he's got.
Old Burley was mean, I mean.
Yeah, he was.
He was mean.
Now, you know that they finally had to block out that center field bleacher in Wrigley Field.
The little deal.
They don't let people sit there anymore, and they got a big green wall there, which gives you a good background to hit against.
I hit good there. I played lots of games there, and I didn't hit a lot of home runs because I wasn't a home run hitter, but no. I hit several home runs there.
How was Horace Stoneham to work under?
Horace was good.
Horace, what they all say.
Horace was a good man. Horace was was too easy.
That's
he was a soft touch.
Yeah.
Now, I like to got one good break. And that was, I had a big year in 34, what it was.
34, huh?
34 and 35.
Yeah.
I was about 315, 16, something along
mm-hmm.
that. And I was holding out, and there was a year of training in Pensacola, I believe. And I was going to get to talk to Horace, but I didn't ever get to talk to him. Horace liked me, I think he did. The old man did too, his daddy, ahead of him. Of course, the first World Series we were in was, we were married then, 33.
Mm-hmm.
And we were young, of course, just 22, 23 years old. And we were coming in from Washington on a train, special train. He, of course, they were going to give us a celebration. I don't remember what hotel it was now. But anyway, he called us kids, didn't he? What was the old man did? The old man was a drunkard, he knew that.
Yeah.
He was a drinker, yeah. But he was a big hard old, if he liked you.
Yeah.
But now Horace had a bunch of leeches that followed him, see.
Mm.
And they kept him broke all the time.
Probably not.
He had a bunch. I never did. Well, of course, I won't say this on that thing there, because, but Tom C. and you know Tom, was a brother coach out there at San Francisco, had a job out there. That boy, they just kept him hard.
What do you think about the move to San Francisco?
I think that's the worst move they ever made, I'll tell you the truth. They were the popular club in New York.
Oh, of course. They had some problems, that is to say, polo grounds was old and all of that, and the parking around it was difficult and so forth.
It was that all right.
Yeah, but I think Stoneham let O'Malley.
Oh, there's the guy that got to.
Both
he got to great.
Going on out, so there'd O'Malley be two of them out there. Yeah.
O'Malley got. There had to be two of them out there.
That's right.
And O'Malley got the, he got the gravy, and then Horace got the.
O'Malley got the gravy. Is right.
Oh, did he got the best franchise in baseball?
That's right. Okay. After the 41 season, your last run up there, what'd you do?
I went to. I played in the American Association.
Did you?
I could have probably held up that deal over there. I would have probably gone back to the Giants if I hadn't pulled it. But I got more money going over there.
I'll be darned. Who'd you play for?
Indianapolis.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. I played for Indianapolis. Well, I'll tell you, he was later National Democratic Chairman over there, Frank McKinney over there.
Oh, sure.
And.
He later bought into the Pirates, I think.
He took old Schlenzer over with him.
Mm-hmm.
Al Schlenzer. I would have gone back. I was told that I would have if I had, but I got money on the side,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have to even pay taxes on it.
Who was your manager in Indianapolis?
Gabby Harden.
Was he really?
Yeah. I played for Gabby over there.
Was it? It wasn't a Cub farm team, was it?
No. I played for Gabby the first year. I played over 2 years. I was sold back to the Athletics.
Was Donnie Bush the?
Donnie owner? Was the man.
Yeah.
I could have got that job if I would have gone under Gabby,
yeah.
But I wouldn't do it. Mr. McKinney came down the last day of the season. We were closing down Louisville. And I rode back to Indianapolis with him, and he approached me, but I just couldn't. Gabby and I were good friends if there mm-hmm. was, and I just couldn't.
Yeah, that's good. We need more people like that.
I think a friendship is the greatest thing a person can have.
You can destroy it so easily.
And it can be just a little misunderstanding can lots of times destroy it too.
Well, I was right up the road all that time in South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend.
I taught 43 years at the University of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Starting in 31 after I had graduated there. I went up to Notre Dame from McAllen in 26. And Mary was living in South Bend then too, though we didn't know each other for half a century later almost.
But okay.
They've already had their 50th anniversary there.
This year, I saw the picture.
Was that taken in here? Yes. Let me show all this picture here.
I don't know. I had before. Show it to Mary there.
That's our St. Louis one that actually happened. And this kid got to playing with his mama's stitch holder, whatever you call them things.
Oh.
And that thing flew and hit an eye and put his eye out.
Oh.
Just a little boy. He had a baby.
He was later went down to the university, down at the University of Texas, I believe, where Jackson came through here, but I didn't get to see him the time he came.
They removed the eye?
Yeah. He lost just one eye, yes ma'am. Yeah, he lost that eye.
Well, he had another one, thank God.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's the front or the back of it.
Let me go ahead and finish asking a few more things, and then we'll turn that stuff off, and I'll take a quick look through here, because what I'd like be to have a couple of days to read every word there, but it can't take that much time. Off-season, you had a family situation during the season there, you say. The ball players on the club were all kind of like a family. Did you have any off-season contacts? Would some of them come down here to hunt with you or something?
Well, we've had Hubble and Mel came, and Mancuso, Gus came,
yeah.
They all came. Harry Gumbert came. We had quite a few visits here.
Gus is over in Houston.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Gumbert is in Wimberley, Texas.
Wimberley, that's that old Fort San Marcos.
Yeah.
That's a deal over there. It's a retired village, I think.
Really?
Go back to when that is. It's back in that hill country there, back in San Marcos, where it is.
Now I got one for you. Can you tell me what your best game in the major leagues was?
Well, I was told this by the sports writers, and I don't know when it, what year it was or anything about it, but I played a game in Cincinnati, and I had quite a few people tell me that was the greatest left field game that they ever saw played.
Mm.
I think I had about 8 foot outs and diving, and you know, I had one of those hard dives. I wasn't graceful.
Like, so you caught the ball.
But I came up with the ball. That was amazing.
Yeah.
But I don't know when it was, but it was in Cincinnati, in the old Cincinnati, Florida.
Yeah,
Florida,
sure.
Video.
Of
course, that was a. You know, it had a short left field there.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little incline. It was a little art to play in it, of course. Could do it, but it you just had to figure a little bit.
An outfielder in those days had to be a more complete outfielder to know the ins and outs of every park you went to like that.
Well, our club was strong on knowing what we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part about it, they could carry it out.
Yeah, execute.
Because they could execute, because we had pitchers that could do it, and then had the rest of the club, you know, fit, yeah, fit right into it.
Sure. All right. Did you have any that you probably, if you did, you probably remember any really embarrassing play where you fouled up?
Well, I'm sure, because I've had lots of times when you know, you feel bad about a game.
Yeah, you can't go through all the time.
And lots of times, you know, it just falls upon you. It wouldn't make any difference who it would have been. It would have fallen on you if they had been in the same spot. But offhand, I just don't. Of course, I've had embarrassing. But I haven't had an embarrassing. One thing I never had embarrassing, and that is, like I see them now, losing that ball in the sun.
Yeah. What's the trouble?
I don't know. We always talk to Chief.
Maybe they play too much night ball.
Well, it might be. It could be.
Yeah.
But I never lost a ball in my life, you know, and had to go around and run around and run
that
out of money.
That was a rare thing.
I've seen Reggie Jackson do it 2 or 3 times.
That's right. Blame it all on the sun.
Of course, I played Sunfield and pole drive all the time. Left field was Sunfield. And left field in Pittsburgh was Sunfield. But Mel was the same way. We just didn't lose balls.
Mm-hmm. I meant to ask Charlie Grimm, forgot to, if in that famous 10-inning binge that the Athletics pulled off in the fourth game of the 29 World Series to beat them 10-8, when the Cubs were leading 8-0, and one of the fly balls hits Hack Wilson on the head, according to the reports.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask him if that really was true. Did it hit Hack on the head, and did he lose it in the sun, or what did happen?
Well, we didn't see it then,
no.
We didn't have television.
Yeah. No.
But, Hack Wilson, after he went from the Cubs, he went over to Philadelphia for a little while over there.
That's right.
And, this was embarrassing, I'm sure. But Boone Beck was pitching for Philadelphia, and of course he couldn't get anybody out, and Hack was chasing that ball from here to yon and everywhere, and it played out. So he was standing over in center field with his hand on his knees with his head down that way, and Boone throws the ball against the right field fence.
Because they were taking him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hack heard that ball hit that fence, and boy, he tore that fence. And after he found out what it was all about, he went in there trying to work on the mound.
I've heard that story.
That's true.
That's true, yeah.
Yes, sir, it was true. We were there when it happened.
I heard it too many times, Joe.
It was true.
What about, we agree that night ball may have injured some ball players in average and things like that. They don't sleep in the usual manner. They try to sleep during the daytime.
Not as regular, I don't know.
Yeah, and the artificial surface makes a different ball game. And what about free agency?
Well, I don't understand all this stuff about it. I don't know enough about it. There's so many, look like to me, irregularities in the thing that I just don't understand. I don't know how the owners can stay in business.
I don't either. Well, they couldn't if it weren't for TV revenue.
Yeah, well, that's it, because it's a different deal. Yeah.
The owners may...
Well, actually, today, the way I see it, the pitcher suffered more than anybody else, because he throws a new ball every time.
That's right.
And the hitter still don't hit but 200. I don't understand it.
It's a mystery.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I don't know why the hitters that would come up these days should be any worse in hitting than the ones in the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Well, I think it, you take a guy like Musial and Paul Wayne was the best hitter I ever saw.
Great hitter, great.
He could control the bat better than anybody I've ever seen, the Paul Wayne.
Yeah.
And, I just don't know why these people can't hit that ball now, because they're hitting a smooth ball and they're used to it. You take some of the old guy, you get a little rough spot on that ball now.
He can do something. Yeah.
But now you throw a new ball every time you go out there now. If it hits the ground, well, that umpire will look at it.
That's right. Okay, now let's put together your all-star National League team in the years when you played in the National League. Who was the best first baseman?
Well, of course, they were, Terry didn't play all the time. I think Terry was the best first baseman I ever saw. You know,
you'd have to be near the top.
And I'll tell you somebody that usually, this guy you're talking about a while ago, Charlie Rim was a good pro player.
Oh, yes.
As far as fielding's concerned, Charlie had those little big meat hands, you know. He gets them with bare-handed a lot of times.
And he hit well, too. And he played a long time.
And Jim Bonnerman was a good first baseman. They was good first basemen in my era.
Yeah.
And I tell you what they were good catchers.
Who's your best catcher?
Well, the best catcher I ever saw, I believe, was Dickey. Yeah. But, you know, Cochran was a good catcher.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Hartnett was a good catcher.
Yeah, in the National League, in your time.
Al Lopez was as good a receiver as ever lived.
Was he in the National League when you were there?
Yeah, he was in the National League.
Boston or?
Boston and Brooklyn.
He was
over Brooklyn.
You would take Al over Gabby?
Well, no, I couldn't do that because the hitting would be.
That's right. As a catcher, he was probably.
He could receive, was probably, better. Probably yeah. good.
Let's go on to second base.
Well, I'll tell you, you'd have to go a long ways to beat Fritch.
Frisch, I agree with you.
Frisch was an old man, but he was still a good second baseman.
He wasn't as old as Hornsby.
No.
You saw Rogers, didn't you?
I saw Horn, but he was...
Of course, as a second baseman, Frisch was better.
Yeah.
As
I tell you one thing. Frisch could get a hit when it hurts you, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first All-Star game he played, that Frisch hit home run for the National League.
All right, shortstop.
Well, we had a lot of good shortstops along about that time. Fetty Jerkins was a good shortstop. And, of course, Bartell was a good shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Parky Vaughn was a good shortstop and a good hitter. Slats Marion was a good shortstop for us. We had
You're not naming your own one. Travis.
Oh, well, of course. Now, see, Travis played third base most after I got there.
Yeah.
But,
what about Glenn Wright?
Glenn Wright, he was to the end of the line when I got there.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, Pye Trainer was the best third baseman.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
But I'll tell you one thing about it. That first baseman better get back over there pretty fast.
That's what Glenn told me. Pye's only weakness was he couldn't hold the ball.
He could not hold that ball.
When he got hold of it, he had to throw it.
He got to throw it, and you better get to first base or he'd throw it over you, too.
All right, give me three outfielders.
One of the best outfielders I think that I saw while I was there was, he wasn't in hitting, he wasn't, but Terry Moore.
I may talk to him yet.
Terry was a go. He did like having an infielder out there.
Go get him, yep.
Yeah. Of course, there was lots of good outfielders. Of course, I played against DiMaggio in World Series. That's all the time I played against. Seating-wise, I don't know. But...
for either power at bat or in the field, would Medwick come in there?
Yeah, Medwick was a pretty good outfielder. He wasn't a bad outfielder.
But of course, Paul was and Lloyd were both there all that
time. Yeah,
night,
well, of course, Paul played right field all the time. The only place he ever played that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Little Wainer could go get that ball, too.
Yes, he could.
And he was one of those guys on the... We played him... I tell you what, we played him. We played him right on our left field line. I did.
Mm-hmm.
Move everybody around and pitch him out there, make him get out there.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, you couldn't do that to
him. No.
Paul, if you get out there, he'll somewhere get around there and hit the ball down that right field line on there. I don't know how he did it.
Give me, in the National League in your day, the best right-handed pitcher. I don't think there's much doubt about the best left-handed pitcher.
Well, of course, you got Warnke was a good right-handed pitcher. And he was a good pitcher for a long time.
Yeah.
Dean was a good pitcher. Now,
for a short time.
For the period until he hurt his arm. See, he hurt his arm in the
All-Star game.
In All-Star 1937.
Yeah.
I got, that's the ball that the president threw out that day. Roosevelt threw that ball out, and I got it that day. That's the day it did it.
Wonderful.
Right there.
Wonderful.
He autographed it, but it pretty much took the act of Congress to get it. You couldn't get, a Secret Service.
Yeah.
It was different from what it is now. You could, I sent it up there by the bat boy, and I tried to get up there, and of course they were sitting in the box right above mm-hmm. our dugout, and you couldn't even get through the door, much less close to it. So Calvin Griffin finally got that ball all the way up on
him. Did the pension plan go in before you finished?
It went in after, I think. I didn't get in.
You didn't qualify?
No.
It must have been mighty soon after.
Well, it was about 3 years, I think, somewhere along. I would like to got in on that, because it's a good one.
They all say that. And it's a dirty shame that...
Well, another thing about it, in all those All-Star games, that's where the money went that we played in. When I was playing, it went into that fund.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually...
Yep.
They could have given everybody a small pension.
That's right. I agree heartily.
Instead of getting when DeRosa took that Houston job, I understand he's making that $21,000 at retirement.
Hmm.
Gee.
What are your overall memories? Good, bad, indifferent.
My memories are good.
That's right.
I think it's been baseball was good to me because we played in a time when we started out, of course we married in the same condition. It was, at times were bad.
Oh boy!
I mean you couldn't get a hold of a dollar hardly.
I know what you mean.
And instead of sending you $40,000-$50,000 contract, they send you a clipping out of the paper telling you to press it on. And that's true.
Yeah. And there sure as heck was.
Yeah, it was. People wouldn't believe it unless they were up in that country up there.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen it in New York, and not just one corner, but several places when they had the soup kitchens there.
Yep.
And be four abreast, and they'd be for several blocks before abreast to get a bowl of soup, not a steak.
Like
we get now, your food stamps and all that, you see them buying watermelon costs 25 cents a pound now,
mm-hmm.
with food stamps.
Heck, in my day down here, a whole watermelon didn't cost 25 cents.
I don't like them that good myself. I like watermelon, but I don't like 25 cents.
I've seen people who raised them, and there was a glut on the market. They'd pull up their truck somewhere and say, "Help yourself."
Yeah.
By the way, is this a good fruit
Yeah, they used to be real good, but they're not what they used to be over here in Milano.
Looks like they had a quantity there. I was wondering if they had the quality.
Well, some of them it do. However, maybe not. We have tomatoes now here. We raise a good tomato in this country.
Find another one?
No, not right around here.
There's one on the going down the Bryan Highway right across from the plant where my son is, over there. That's pretty good.
There's some kinds they're not there, though.
No, they're not there, but I think they are right now. But we raise a good tomato here.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a good one.
That would be good to eat a good tomato.
Yeah.
We haven't been having too good.
Oh, you don't always get good tomatoes. Let me ask you one last thing. What, after you finish playing in Indianapolis and wherever else, that'll be sometime in the 40s, you quit playing ball, huh?
Uh-huh.
And then what'd you do? Came back here?
We've been back here. We've owned this land for... Well, I started buying that in 1935.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mean you do some farming?
Well, we've had cattle, so
yeah.
We do some farming, but not much farming. It's a cow deal with us now, mm-hmm. altogether now, more especially now. But I had a man that used to live down and take care of all those farm while I was gone.
Yeah.
And it's been we've had a good life, and we've enjoyed it. We still enjoy one another. We get crossed, but everybody gets crossed.
Let me tell you a true story about...
Wouldn't be interesting if you did.
That Mary and I heard in Phoenix a couple of years ago of a couple that had their 50th wedding anniversary, and pretty large family, children, grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren, and friends came, and they had a big celebration. And it was a big success. Everybody was enjoying it and so forth, and it was all over. And the wife was a little hard of hearing. And when it was all over and they were alone, the husband says, "Martha, I'm proud of you." And she turned around and gave him a mean look and says, "Abner, I'm tired of you, too."
I'm
going to use your bathroom now for a minute, if I may, please.